Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the V2 Academy. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me as ever, I've got Peter Prickett.
Good evening.
And we're delighted to be joined on the line by Garth Smith. How you doing, Stephen Garth?
Good evening, Chris. I'm very well, thank you.
Yes, Garth is currently the Northern Ireland First Team Futsal Assistant Manager, and he has joined us today to discuss difficulties in starting from scratch. So, can we just go a little bit background of how you started? How did you get into coaching?
Well, it effectively came through a change of career. I used to be a graphic designer, yeah. And I was made redundant twice in that profession and started to fall out of love with it. Then I decided, right, I need to start to look for something that I'm interested in, that something that isn't going to reject me. And I just thought, right, what am I interested in? I'm interested in football. Let's see if there's any qualifications. Now, at this point, I'd only ever watched and played football, never even thought about coaching it.
Yeah.
This was in 2010, and I thought, right, let's just see what I can do. So when I was in London, contacted the London FA, and they put me on their level one, and from that moment, it just completely changed my life. Became a coach, joined a team, worked with predominantly 2 to 5 year olds, and then coached a under-13s 11-a-side team in Surrey. And now I'm a primary school teacher, so it's essentially led me into working with children on a permanent basis.
And how did you get involved with futsal?
Well, obviously through my football coaching, was interested in developing my understanding of other sports, and that's what I see futsal as. It's another sport. Yes, it has similarities to football, but I like to see it as a sport in its own right.
Yeah.
I like to remind people, it's a bit like, you know, tennis and badminton. You know, you still got to hit something over the net, but there's different techniques, there's different rules, there's different approaches to the game. So I took my FA beginners course. This was when I moved to Northern Ireland, but I went back to England to do a day course because I still had a bit of free time to travel back to England. So I decided to take that, and that's where I met Peter. And then we actually did the level 2 course together, which was at St George's Park. So I flew back to England to take that course as well, and I'm currently a level 1, or actually it's a level 2 course now.
Yeah,
it's been changed, hasn't it? So that's how I got involved in futsal.
And how did you get involved with the Irish FA?
Well, essentially it was just right place, right time.
Yeah.
Making contacts within the association. I was currently working as a small-sided games coordinator on a Saturday mornings, so keeping an eye on parents and making sure fixtures were, you know, being fulfilled, and working within that side of the association. And it was just that I knew that there was a futsal team looking to be started, so I contacted Johnny Michael, who's the first team manager, and said, look, if you're needing anybody to get involved, give him a background of futsal and of football, and he was more than keen to get me involved. I think at this stage, and we're still at the infancy part of the national team, it was, if you're interested and you're showing an appetite to build the sport, to build futsal within Northern Ireland, then come on board. And I think because I'd worked with people who he knew, he was able to, you know, trust me.
I was actually there at the birth of the Northern Ireland futsal team, because I've been over twice to watch the Milk Cup.
Yeah.
The tournament previously known as the Milk Cup. And last year, at the same time, there was a futsal tournament on the Saturday, and Garth and I went to have a look and watch what was happening, and then the conversation happened. Garth and John
What comes first? Does the like a league structure come first, or did you decide to have an international team first?
Well, the international tournament that happened in Wales, the Home Nations event, that was sort of just sprung really quickly during the summer. I think it had been in the pipeline in terms of discussion for a little while, and it possibly came around too quickly for us, but at the same time, we thought, right, well, if we're wanting to really push this sport, we've got the funding, we've got an opportunity to at least get off the bottom of the international rankings table.
Yeah.
So we're certainly not bottom anymore, having played 3 games in December, which was good. But at that time, it was essentially, right, well, can we enter a team? Yes, we can. Let's put on some trials, get some players involved, and try to develop the sport from that perspective. Now, you mentioned the National League. Ideally, that would have been perfect to have that already established.
Yeah.
But I think the size of an international tournament that was taking place in Wales really got everyone talking about futsal within the country. I think if we'd started with a National League straight away, I don't think that necessarily would have sparked anyone's imagination. Now, there was, I wouldn't call it a National League, but there were teams competing, and the competition which Peter talked about that he was over in Northern Ireland to witness, that involved some teams within Northern Ireland which competed and then won the opportunity to play in this Final Four competition, which involved a team from Wales, a team from the South, so from Dublin, and from Nottingham University. So those teams were invited over and to compete in the tournament. Since that international tournament, things have really started to click into gear here in Belfast, and the plan is that there will be a National League established just before the summer.
Yeah.
So teams are sort of hopefully submitting teams and applications to that as we speak, which will hopefully, you know, be successful, and that's the first step in developing our National League.
So how did you go about the trials? What were you looking for in the...
What we were looking for? People to come along.
Yeah.
Our first trial, the attendance was zero. So Johnny and I turned up at the venue hoping that, you know, at least a handful of players would appear, and no one did. The second trial that we had, one person turned up, and then the third trial we had, two people turned up. So at least it was an improvement, 100% increase
each time.
But the final trial, about 20 to 25 people turned up, and we were able to make a selection of players to then come back the following week, and then we had a couple of more camps together, and then Johnny and I sat down to discuss, right, who do we want to get involved in this international tournament. It all happened so quickly. It was the blind leading the blind. I'd obviously just had my qualifications in futsal as a foundation, and automatically we were in this position of, right, we're putting together a national team.
Yeah.
What on earth do we look for? What specifics are we thinking about? You know, neither Johnny or I had really experienced futsal in any competitive environment apart from watching it on YouTube, seeing some of the Spanish league games, so it sounds totally haphazard. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was, but at the same time there's people involved who are very, very committed, and that's certainly the case from Johnny and my perspective, is that we are incredibly professional in how we went about the selection process. You know, being experienced football coaches, that helped us establish at least a format for us to look at players and think, right, they're good footballers, but at the same time, are they good futsal players? Now, since that tournament, and since being on the touchline, seeing the opposition who we face, so in Scotland, Wales and England, it's given us far more... It's given us a greater education of what we're actually looking for now. Now, we knew that we were choosing footballers to then play futsal, because the experience of futsal in Northern Ireland was essentially zero.
Yeah.
You'd have a handful of people who would know what the game was. A lot of people would just hear of Falcao and Ricardinho and think, oh, it's all the skills, all the tricks, when actually it's not that. It's far more tactical, it's far more detailed. You've really got to think about the formation and the approach that you're going to take to the game. I remember on my course that I took with Peter, our level two, the tutor on that, Ian Bateman, talked about, does the game that you're playing look like futsal? And I think since that tournament and since more matches that we've watched and observed and been involved with, it's started to look more like futsal. When the players are getting together now, it's starting to take shape to, yes, we now recognise that it is futsal that we're trying to play and it's not football.
Yeah, so what little I've learned from our interview with Grant Osborne is you need the rotations. Am I saying that right?
Rotations are key.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So when you add an international team, when you, I'm guessing you'd have to kind of fit it as like a club side, so you're together quite a lot, so you get these rotations.
Well, I mean, because the knowledge of futsal, certainly for the players, and definitely from the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being totally honest here. Our knowledge was limited. But what we did know was that, look, there's so much to cram in such a short space of time. I think we had 7 or 8 weeks together before the start of the tournament, which each session lasted for 2 hours. So 14 hours together before a major tournament when we were playing teams who had played over 50-plus international futsal games together as a group. So they'd all had that experience. We'd had 14 hours together on the court. So when we were entering the tournament, we were, you know, totally exposed, but I think we certainly gave a good account of ourselves. When it comes to the information that we were feeding back to the players, we slowly drip-fed small parts.
Yeah.
I mean, it was essentially just looking, right, what does a 2-2 formation look like? What are the rules? Because we were, you know, we were starting from the very, very bottom of knowledge of the sport.
Yeah.
So we had to essentially build the understanding of the rules into the players during that 14-hour period over the 7 weeks. So it was, yes, there's rotations, and we need, by the end of the training sessions leading into the tournament, there were elements of that. And looking back on the games, we were successful, but then unsuccessful in how we implemented that into the games. But certainly coming back and then starting the new year with a training session, the players are starting to understand it more. They're starting to use the language that futsal players and what we hoped they would start to use. So they're starting to view it as futsal and not as football. So it's slowly drip-feeding information in every single session that we do.
The credit that is due is that they certainly struck while the iron was hot. I mean, it came together really quite quickly. I mean, we know how long national federations can take over such things, but they, at the risk of things not being perfect, they just went, we need to do this, so let's do it. Rather than waiting for things to catch up, it was, no, let's go for it. And of course that's going to have difficulties, which you just outlined, but you've got to give them massive credit for just going, let's go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the people involved in the Irish FA and the futsal department are 100% behind the sport. There's funding there, and I think the culture of Northern Ireland in terms of sports, it's very, look, we've got our football, we've got our rugby, we've got our Gaelic, we've got our other sports, which we're just traditionally, you know, stuck with. And so this is futsal trying to almost encroach into the football environment. And I don't like saying this, but we're having to share the same platform as football for the time being. So we've got to use it as a joint venture, which is fine, absolutely fine. But I think our ultimate aim is to establish something that is independent of anything else, and it's not having to fight. It's not having to fight football. It can hopefully work alongside, and it's got its own space. It's got its own locker in the changing rooms. It's not having to share.
Is futsal quite earlier of this question still. Is futsal more reliant on being done for futsal, or is futsal being done for football?
I think I can only speak from a personal point of view, is that whenever I do sessions, whenever I put on a futsal session, it's just futsal. I would say yes, it can be used in football sessions, and the crossover is incredibly similar, but my approach, whenever I communicate that with the players who under my care, whichever session I'm using, I try to avoid talking about football altogether. It's just futsal, totally futsal. Whether that is implemented by other coaches within the association, I'm not 100% sure. But from my perspective, it's certainly just a futsal approach.
Futsal is currently being seen as a means to its own end, not as a development tool. Or is that too difficult? Or is that way too foggy and fudgy and difficult to say yes or no to?
If you're looking for a yes or no answer, I would say it's being used as a development tool.
Same as here, which everyone's going to hate. But let's be honest, the backing for it is as a development tool, not really for its own right. Which is fair enough to a degree, because you know, it is the Football Association, not the Futsal Association. Mm. But nonetheless, there will be plenty of people, futsal supporters, who absolutely hate that.
I think what you've just highlighted there, the Football Association and the Futsal Association, I think the intention here within the organisation is to establish a futsal association. So something that is separate, but yet that is joint in terms of the base of the offices, etc. They would be established in the National Stadium of football, but there would be a futsal association separate from that, which dealt with all the National League and the national team program and organisation of fixtures, etc. It would be a separate identity entirely.
So kind of like the Northern Irish Parliament compared to Westminster, just to upset a few more people.
That's a good link into politics in Northern Ireland, yes.
Was it difficult getting your core of players? I know you said that the attendances were pretty poor to begin with, but even when the attendances were good, did you find it a tricky task?
A tricky task for what?
To select the group of players that you ended up taking to the tournament.
No, I think initially it was who is showing commitment. That was a big thing for us. And who was turning up week to week, who was working well within the group, how well did that group form and work together on a social level? You know, we talk about the four corners. Well, this group that we have currently involved are certainly up there. That social corner is full. It's overflowing. The way they connected and the way that they worked together, not just on the court but off it, was fantastic and wonderful from a management side of things to know that you had people together who wanted to be together and they weren't just there for a bit of a laugh, that they were truly committed to the idea of building futsal in Northern Ireland. It sounds very grand, that. It sounds, oh, building the sport and, you know, trying to push the message out, but they were completely sold on that idea and they loved that idea, and the time that we've spent together has certainly brought us closer together. I'm using the word together a lot, aren't I? But there is a sense of all that and it's excellent. And when we were making that selection process, that's what we looked at, how well each player got on with each other. And chose from that that cornerstone initially. Now that we're into 2017 and that we're looking for more players, hopefully that won't change, that we're still looking for committed players. We're not going to chase people. You know, we get emails on a daily and weekly basis saying, oh yeah, I'm really interested. Well, we give them the information, but then they don't turn up. We had a trial on Sunday. Now, it's been half term here in Northern Ireland, so that could be a reason. And we had three players turn up for potentially a two-hour session, which we shortened. We were still able to do the session, and the guys who turned up were pretty decent. when you've got three players turn up and a lot of others said, oh yeah, they were going to, then for me, forget them. You know, if they want to come, come. But we're not gonna sort of pander to players who don't turn up and waste our time.
There's that old thing about they may well be the most talented player, but if they are not there, they may as well have two left feet.
Absolutely. I mean, within our group, our group would be brutally honest and say, look, you know, we might not have the most gifted of players, but we have incredibly hard workers, we've got exceptional learners, and we've got a couple of players in the squad who play futsal in Scotland and in London. So we've got that link into other national leagues, which is fantastic. And to have that involved in the group as well, and to see that people are keen to join this national league that we're hopefully going to start in the summer, then, you know, it's certainly very positive.
Those the players who are playing in England and in Scotland, quite clearly they had a lot more futsal knowledge than the other players. Now, how did that affect, or how did the other players' ability and knowledge affect those players? Did they have to show a great deal of patience, I guess, is where I'm going with this?
Possibly, yes, certainly in the early stages, when we were first getting together, our team captain, Adam Barr, he now plays for Genesis in London. He'd played futsal for Northumbria University, so he'd had a good foundation of tactical knowledge and also playing on a regular basis. So he was actually able to not take the sessions, but if there were certain things that we wanted to communicate, he was able to then do that on the court. And on occasions, we would give him the platform to then discuss that with the players, and he was able to come at it from a different angle, from a player's perspective, something that me and Johnny haven't been able to do. And then Chris Donnelly as well, he wasn't able to come to the trials, but we'd heard very good things about him, so we got him involved in the squad straight from the off. So he just met us in Wales, and he has been since in 2017 back for sessions. And similar to Adam, he was able to contribute to the discussion that was happening on the court, communicating with the players. So I don't think that lasted for very long. I don't think there was any particular frustration about what certain players brought to the group. I think they were humble enough to know, look, you know, yes, we've played futsal, but we're here as a nation. We're here representing a country. We're here to support everybody. We're not going to get too bogged down with how certain people are playing or what knowledge they're bringing to the group. It's just that they want to be part of the group, and that is vitally important for these early stages.
On a personal note, for you, it must have been, or indeed it must still be, quite an unusual and tricky situation where effectively you are one of, if not the most futsal knowledgeable person in the country. Certainly one.
Yes.
So, you know, that's just the way, because you came here and you got that education, you're a little bit ahead of the curve. You had a head start. But that must be quite a unique scenario. The problem there being, though, everyone needs help sometimes.
Massive, yeah.
How did you cope in that sense?
In terms of when
seeking and obtaining help when you needed it?
I need it all the time. And so, I mean, even speaking to you when you were the coach of Chiswick, getting your input, even, you know, speaking to Ian Bateman while I was in Wales, speaking to the other coaches there. I mean, we said to the players at the beginning, look, we're starting this journey with you at the same pace. We're not too far ahead of you. So when you're learning on the court, we're learning at the same time. So we're going to make mistakes as you are as well. So bear that in mind. And the players totally understand the perspective that we were coming from. In terms of help, like I've said, spoke to Ian, spoke to yourself, Peter. I'm fully aware of my lack of and certainly growing knowledge of the sport, so I'm very open to accept criticism. That was one of the biggest things, actually, taking taking charge alongside Johnny of a national international futsal team. I mean, when I had to say that to myself several times when we were in Wales, I'm in a position now that is representing a country. I mean, that is, it just totally blows my mind. I always hoped that I would be involved in the Irish FA when I moved over here in 2012, but to have that opportunity happen so quickly, it was just crazy. And like I was saying just before we recorded the podcast, it really hit home when I saw my name on the team sheets for both international teams, and I looked down and said assistant manager Garth Smith. I was like, wow, this is actually happening now. Okay, I'm in an international environment. What can I learn from that experience? And I think everyone took a heck of a lot away. Yes, we lost every game, and there was an incredibly bruising game against England, but certainly the Welsh game and the Scotland game, we picked up so much, and we are humble enough to go, yeah, we made mistakes, and the players recognise that as well, and they are approaching their playing as that too, which is wonderful to have that as the environment. And to come in to go, look, we are all learning together, and to be open with the players is fantastic. To say, look, I actually don't understand what this means. Let me go away. Let me read something about it. Let me watch this video. Let me speak to that person. It's being open with our understanding of the sport. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this thinking, man, I could do a better job than Garth. And you probably could. You probably could. But what we have in terms of relationship with the players, I think that has developed since the summer of last year, and that has grown and grown, and I think it's turning into something really special.
One final note is that if you're turning to me for help, you really are in trouble. Chris, anything you want
to... Oh, we've gone miles over our 20 minute... Right, so before we finish, do you want to plug any social media or websites?
I'm happy to give my Twitter handle.
Yep.
It is Garth W. Smith, and there's a wee profile picture of me in a Northern Ireland t-shirt.
Yeah. All links you can find in the description below the show. So if there's nothing else, Peter?
No.
Alright, so I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Peter. It's been great to discuss the sport, and hope people enjoy this.
Cheers, Scott.
Pleasure. No, thank you. I hope it sounded good.
And huge thanks to Garth for joining us tonight. Next week, we're joined by former academy manager of Huddersfield Town, Mark Lillis. We had him on the original V2 football podcast in 2013. He was an amazing guest then, so I'm sure he will be again. Good night.